Von Brashler, our guest this evening. His new book offers a primer on ghost removal. Brashler provides practical lists of what to do and what not to do when trying to remove ghosts from a haunted building. He outlines how to identify what kind of spirit you're dealing with, whether it's safe to attempt removal, and how to approach the ghost and convince it to leave. Detailing his own intense and sometimes hellish battles with unseen spirits, he also includes an impassioned plea of caution to those who try to contact ghosts and spirits purely for entertainment. Von Brashler, our guest this evening on Coast to Coast AM. We're going to open up phone lines at the bottom of the hour so you can call in if you have stories to relate or questions for our guest in dealing with a haunting and how you can get rid of it yourself, or do you need a professional to come in? I'm your host for the evening, Dave Schrader. I'll be back again with you tomorrow night on Coast to Coast as well. We'll be joined by William J. Burns, and we'll also be talking about time travel. We'll be talking about parallel universes, alternate realities, deja vu, and time slip phenomena. Got a lot of great things to talk about and how they may tie in with near-death experiences. That's tomorrow night. Stay tuned. We'll be back with our guest, Von Brashler, right after this. Can we truly confront the spirits and supernatural ghosts? Can we convince them to leave? Do we have that power? Do we have that ability? Von Brashler, our guest, is here to talk to us. Confessions of a Reluctant Ghost Hunter, a cautionary tale of encounters with malevolent entities and other disembodied spirits. That's the name of his brand new book. We've got links up for the book and for Von Brashler's website. You can go check it out at coasttocoastam.com. And while you're there, become a Coast Insider. It'll give you an opportunity to access over 5 years of past archived shows. You can hear for yourself why this is the best in overnight talk radio. You'll also get access and unprecedented contact with George Norrie, the host of Coast to Coast, and some of the best guests in a live chat format. You'll get news, you'll be part of their newsletter, and so much more for about 15 cents a day. You just can't get entertainment like that anywhere, folks. Go sign up now, coasttocoastam.com. Become an insider and see what so many other people around the world love to be a part of. Again, check that out at coasttocoastam.com. Von, we were talking about the fact of confronting these spirits, helping them cross over, what it sometimes takes to get them there. You know, one of the things I'm always so curious about is if these spirits are here and they're reluctant to leave, I mean, if God can't get them out... And the angels are the light and family and friends that are there to meet them when their time comes. How can we talk them into leaving? What kind of power are we given as humans to actually remove a spirit from a location?
Oh, and I think if some aspect of us wants to remain on the earth, locked in some eternal time loop, acting out the same crazy behavior over and over and over, that's kind of what we can do. But as far as getting them out, yes, I mean, we can encourage them to leave. Sometimes they will and sometimes they won't. I've had them just suddenly appear in my house and I've ordered them out. I've expelled them, you know. I've shouted out at them and they've left. I've reasoned with them to relocate. Very often, you can work out a deal just to relocate. Sometimes they're extremely reluctant. They're very, very stubborn and they don't want to leave. So I think, you know, yes, the longer they stay, the harder it is to get them to go. And sometimes you just have to coexist with them or walk around them.
When you're facing spirits like this and you're confronting them, trying to get them to leave a location, do you first of all have to differentiate their level of consciousness and awareness to realize if they even know that they're dead? And to me, that always sounds absurd that you don't know that you're dead. If I'm in a house and I can see you and I'm screaming and yelling and you're not noticing me, or other things like that are going on and I'm not able to control like I would in life, how do they not know they're dead?
Oh, sure. I think they don't. And a lot of times you'll encounter a ghost in a house that isn't aware of you. And if you become aware of it, it's rather shocked. because it's so used to not being noticed, and its own level of awareness of others around it in the physical world, in which it just has a toehold as a spirit, a non-physical being, is pretty shaky, and so it is kind of hard to connect with them.
Do you tell spirits when they're there and they seem lost, you're dead, it's your time to move on? And when you do that, how do they respond when they come to the realization that they're no longer really part of our world? Is it shock and terrifying for them?
Puzzled and worried, because they realize then that they're out of place and out of time. They have this really confused look, like they thought they were here. They were hanging on to what was real to them, but then you reason with them that they no longer have a place in this world. They're no longer physical. This is not their world anymore, and they really need to move on.
Do they ever seem like they think you're the ghost? Are your voices, are your actions frightening them because they can't see you in their reality, their paradigm of the experience they're having? Do they think they're the ones being haunted?
Yeah, I think that's true. And I can only speak from my own experience. I'm not really a professional ghost anything, or researcher. I'm a journalist, and I've just had my own experiences. And I can only report from my own experiences, but they will many times be totally confused as to what's going on, and they'll think that you're stalking them and you're bothering them, and why are you bothering them, and why are you taking notice of them at all, and why don't you just leave me alone? And a lot of times they'll kind of flee the scene. They'll just want to be left alone, and you'll have to kind of call them out, you know, like, come on out, talk to me, you know.
I, you know, the part that always frightens me, and I don't know if frightened is the right word, as a father myself, Vaughn, I hear stories of children's ghosts lingering, sometimes crying out. They'll hear children's voices crying out. Do you believe that children are left behind? That, you know, I understand we all have free will, as, you know, reflected through the Bible and my own belief in Christianity, that's what happens, that we have our free will. But you would think that children would be watched over, taken care of. So if they were an innocent soul at the time of their passing, that they wouldn't be just trapped here, lost for eternity. Or do you believe something more malevolent has taken on that form?
Yes, I think a lot of times other spirits kind of grab them and shepherd them in a certain direction. And you'll find very often a cluster of ghosts, which are beings or spirits or whatever, consciousness entities that in life probably never knew each other. And then when one passes on, the other one grabs on and holds them, kind of like part of their group, you know, their tribe. I think this happens with children, and children are, you know, it is troubling that children and little innocent pets that die are sometimes, you know, staying here. But it does seem that this happens.
Where does it fit in for your belief system in life and death? When we die, is there a heaven or a hell from your experience as a medium, or does it just recycle? Do we just become reborn once we accept that this lifetime is over?
Well, I subscribe as a theosophist to the Eastern spiritual view that we spiritually evolve. We move on from this place to another place in time. Most of us, maybe perhaps all of us, are reborn or reincarnated, given another life to experience in this physical realm, and that interfering with ghosts, calling them back. Let's say in the case of people that are always calling ghosts, they want to speak to Elvis, or they want to speak to their dead Aunt Ruth, and close the gap, you know, and have some closure, or they want to know where the hidden pearl necklace might be. You know, it's really rude to call them back, because I think from this point of spiritual evolution, they need to move on. They need to be allowed to move on. And calling them back is not good either. I'm not talking about spirits that haunt us, but people that have passed on and we're calling them back. It's just as bad as stalking the ghosts that haunt
us. Do you believe we're really calling the ghost back? Or do you believe that, you know, when we talk about psychometry in the world of psychics, right? Psychometry where you can take somebody's piece of jewelry or a personal item and hold it and you pick up on a resonant feeling, a mental impression or something that's been left with it in an energetic form. Couldn't it just be that when we're calling forth, and, you know, I miss my grandfather, Vaughn, and I miss him a lot, and there are days I call for and I wish that he'd be there. Do you believe that I'm really calling upon his spirit, or am I calling upon the memory that's locked in my own energy pattern? Am I calling on that to come forward? And that may be what's, you know, interacting with me, my own perception of what my grandfather is or was to me?
It's possible. I think that a lot of times, too, when people will call forth the spirit, they want to have a relationship with a deceased person. And they want to talk to them, or they want closure. It can be somewhat deceptive as to what happens. Let me give you an example. In the spirit realm, you know, you can. It's all based on thought forms. You know, there's no physical presence, so they're basically sending you conscious thought forms, and they're planting whatever they want inside your head. So they might make you think you're hearing your grandfather. They might even make you think they're seeing your grandfather to some degree, and it may not be your grandfather. So I think that we do have the ability to call back some residual aspect, some hollow residual half-life portion of what maybe was your grandfather. And speak with them. But as one of my teachers told me once, you know, if they didn't know the answers when they were alive, how do you think they know the answers now that they're dead? I mean, do you get wiser? So I think people get confused as to why we'd want to communicate with the dead. Now, when people die, it's very common for them to appear before you. Maybe they'll flash in your mind's eye, or you'll think of them suddenly. You know, it's kind of like they're saying goodbye, you know, or they might appear to you in a dream or a daydream, or very vividly they might appear to you one last time just after passing. And they're saying goodbye, and that's totally legitimate. I mean, that's their call. It's their goodbye wave. But to call them back after they've left the earth just seems to me a little bit rude.
Well, we have such a predisposition to dislike change. And, you know, I know it firsthand. When we lose somebody, we're not crying for them, for their loss. We're crying for ourselves. We're crying and we're missing and we're grieving what will no longer be part of our life. I often wonder if that's why mediums and even ourselves, when we get these messages after they come back to us after they've passed, they're always messages of love and light. Is it because that's what our mind needs to hear in order for us to process it and move it on? That's what you said. Maybe we're not even talking to them. Maybe we're talking to a shadow of a memory of what they are, and we're imprinting on it what the messages we need to hear, because that's the way our subconscious helps us to deal with the grieving process.
It's an emotional experience, and very often when you do communicate with the dead in this fashion, they will assure you that they've moved on and they're fine, and they hope that you can get over it. The last time I tried to communicate with a dead pet, that's the message I got, was, I'm fine, I hope you can learn to move on. And I felt rather silly, you know, because, yeah, It's just the physical body that wore out. I mean, this spirit entity, this life force, is probably just absolutely fine. It has evolved beyond this. And yes, we miss them. So let's celebrate their life. Let's not grieve.
Yeah, it's easier said than done, though, right? I mean, that's hard for all of us to just let that go. That's why, you know, one of the things I've always told our listeners as we've moved along, and people, when we've done on Darkness Radio and we've had mediums on and they try to help people connect, you know, if you take the time in life to love one another and tell each other how you feel, that sense of emptiness and that sense of, I guess, you know, I wish I would have said this. I wish I would have done this one more time. I wish if you'd have put all that effort into it while they were alive, you won't have the need for a psychic or a medium to help you connect after they're dead. There'll be no reason to call upon them, because if you appreciate everyone in your life that you love now, that just leaves that as an opportunity for you to move on and live a better life without needing to grieve.
Right. No regrets. I mean, put it all out there. You know, communicate, you know, hold them dear, say what you want to say. Don't let things be unsaid. Very true.
Do you find, I mean, do people, okay, I'm not sensitive. I can't go into houses or buildings and pick up on spirits. I've gone into some and I've had experiences, but I don't go everywhere and pick up on these senses. Do I have to be a psychic or a medium in order to clear my house of an experience and something that's there? Do I have to resonate in that same vibrational level where they're at in order to tell them to go? Or do we have that ability just by setting the intent to move them on?
Yes, just the intent. Anyone can do it. You can just ask them to leave, or you can order them to leave, or I do the lesser banishing ritual where I just banish them. But I have friends in Oregon, too, that just smudge their house with cedar or sage, and it seems to be effective.
Right, but then again, is that just our perception that it's working? You know, if somebody gave me a bottle of bubble stuff and told me it was blessed by the Pope, and if I blow those bubbles and as they pop, they'll set free the spirits in my house. If somebody has that belief, will that really do it, or is it not one of those if you believe it, it will happen kind of situations?
Oh, yeah. It's like one of the things I was supposed to carry in my bag of tricks for haunted buildings was holy water. I could never quite get my handle on what was holy water. But you know, it's perception is creates your reality. It's your moving reality. It's the world that you live in. It's goodness gracious. You know, people that live in a mental hospital, they seem to have an agreed upon definition of what they see. And I think they see a lot more than the rest of us. They're probably extremely perceptive. Most of them, and they're seeing spirits that are all around us. It's often said that spirits are all around us almost all the time in any building and any place you go, but most of the time they don't make themselves known, or we simply don't perceive them. It's not that they don't exist. We don't hear the forest, the tree falling in the forest.
But we've got about a minute left in this segment. What about the people that it's not part of their realm? You know, if we talk about intent and that's how we get rid of ghosts and, you know, the placebo effect almost, what about people that don't believe in ghosts yet have experiences and it changes their paradigm? I mean, if I go in with the intent that this does not exist and something happens,
yes,
anyway.
I kind of wish now that I didn't.
Oh, really?
You know, that I've seen the dark side, but I've also seen some very lovely ghosts and I've seen some move on, and you know it's important work for those who do it, you know, conscientiously. For those who don't see it, I don't know what to tell them. It'll become part of your reality when it becomes part of your human personal experience, and it just hasn't happened yet.
Well, as a medium yourself, real quickly in about 25 seconds here, do you ever get messages that aren't positive?
Yes, I think a lot of spirits, there are negative spirits out there, unknown what they are, that glom onto our energy, our life energy, our light, our life, having no physical form, having no physical energy, having no light within them. They attach themselves to very often psychic people, very often very happy people.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll hear one of Vaughn's more terrifying or extreme encounters, and we'll begin taking your phone calls. If you have questions for our guest about your own experiences and you'd like his unique insights, be a part of Coast to Coast and give us a call. Stay tuned. We've got so much more coming your way right after this. Time travel, parallel universes, alternate realities, deja vu, and time slip phenomena. Tomorrow we're going to be talking with guests William J. Burns, and Joel Martin. We're also going to have a few other guests stop by, including Andrew Bishago, the time-traveling attorney. We're going to talk about all this different phenomena. We're going to talk about the possibility of near-death experiences and false memories. Are we jumping consciousness from reality to reality as we face death scenarios in each lifetime? Are we allowed one full continuous lifetime? Just not necessarily in the linear form we expect. Does it work like a stairway as we face death here? Does our consciousness jump to the next level and continue on in another reality? We've had some really strange phenomena that we've talked about on our show, Darkness Radio, from time to time. We're going to talk about this tomorrow night with some of the experts in the field, have them weigh in on their belief system on this. And again, if you like the strange, the supernatural, and the paranormal, you can join me 5 nights a week. Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, hosts of Darkness Radio. And you can find us at darknessradio.com, Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. until midnight. We also have a live chat. You can join us tonight during Coast to Coast in the live chat as well. Be a part of the show. And if you have questions that you'd like to pop in with, you can email them to dave@darknessradio.com. Von Braschler, our guest, his book, Confessions of a Reluctant Ghost Hunter. When we come back, we'll begin taking your calls and questions, concerns, and your own encounters with Von Braschler. Stay tuned. That continues next on Coast to Coast AM. Von Braschler has been our guest this evening. We'll begin taking your calls in a few moments. Von, I know you talked to us earlier about the one encounter that you had to deal with where the family members felt as though they were being choked and attacked in the home. Is that one of the scariest, or have you had an encounter where you were in over your head and ended up not being able to help at all?
I think that was probably the most difficult one. I'll never go back to the trailer. I'll never go back to those woods. I love it up there. I love the Mount Hood National Forest. Used to mushroom hunt up there all the time. But I'll never go back to that trailer or to that site. That was very difficult. I had another one that was just as frightening that I tell in the book about a woman that was living up on our mountain who disappeared. Now, we have lots of people that disappear when they go, they try to hike up Mount Hood because they think, well, in the summertime, they can hike up Mount Hood, but it's a permanent glacier cap mountain, and the rock climbing just doesn't work, and we'd lose people that way. Sometimes they'd never find them. Sometimes it would take a while, but this was a woman that just disappeared. She came up there, and her sister, who was a neighbor of mine, came by and said, I can't find my sister. And I said, gosh, what does she look like? And she described her, well, what happened to her? She said, she just came up here and she was wandering around and she's from Portland. She was trying to find herself and she just disappeared. There was a little chapel in the woods where she met these lovely ladies that were going to try to do some kind of a spiritual healing on her or something. And we sent somebody to investigate that, and the reporter we sent out, he said, I want to be healed. And the lovely ladies just jumped up and down on him, and he wouldn't go back to that place. And anyway, there were, at that time, animal mutilations, and they were running the decapitated birds up on a flagpole at the local grade school on the mountain, and that was kind of disheartening. And then we found a body in the lake nearby that kind of made us think it was the same kind of situation as the mutilated birds. Blood had drained, no head. very decomposed, hard to identify, and it appears that was most likely the woman's sister who disappeared. And that was a little frightening because, I mean, there was actually spirit communication on the phone where the dead girl, long after she was apparently dead, was calling her sister saying, oh, help me, help me, help me, and she was already dead. So that was a little frightening.
Oh, it's always sad when you have those kind of stories. Let's go to the phone calls east of the Rockies. Mike in State College, Pennsylvania, welcome to the show. What did you want to talk about?
Gentlemen, I want to talk about some very neat activity. I hope you can hear me okay.
Yep, your comments are great.
Okay, great. It moved into a place that is a different kind of place. It isn't. It wasn't meant for a residence. I believe people say it was a post office or a beauty parlor or something of that nature on a country road. Cross street neighbors kind of moved in and got to know this young man, probably 11, 12 years old, and he's got some pretty radical medical problems, and he's okay with it. He seemed like an old soul type of kid. We knew about some activity in the house, could get the feeling, and this is all a first for me. The young man comes over to play some video games with me and looks at the pictures, the family photos, and says, yeah, that lady there, she sits on the front porch, and he's pointing to my grandma. And that gentleman there stands in front of this window because he has to watch this other guy in front of this window. And he takes a picture. I'm helping him move across the street, and I go running across the street, and he takes a picture unknowingly to myself with his little Game Boy device that has a camera on it of me running up to my front porch. And I go back across the street, and he says, Mike, look. And I look at the screen, and I could see me. And on top of the crest of the roof is there's somebody standing on the roof.
Really?
And I said, wow, that's incredible. He goes, yeah, I saw him, so I took the picture. And he goes, you see that smoke around the tree, your next door neighbor? He goes, that's not the moss. That's somebody was trying to form there. And I said, you're kidding me. He goes, oh, no. And But I'll be laying on my sofa. One time I was laying on my sofa watching TV, and my girlfriend is on the single chair. Coffee table separates us. And out of the corner of my eye, like you said, Mon, out of the left corner of my eye, I notice her prescription bottle sideways floating ever so gently back down to the table. Now, how high it was in the air, I don't know. And she sees this gentleman, we call him Mr. Green Jeans, in a crisp white T-shirt and blue jeans, but never like the shins down, you can't see, or you can't see the collarbone up. And down in the basement doing laundry, he'll show up. He just showed up in the kitchen tonight making dinner. I heard her say, you know, Mr. Green Jeans, you know, leave us alone tonight, that kind of thing. My cat that had passed away, I've seen him now leaping through the air, and I can only catch his top hindquarters, half his rear tail, and maybe a little bit of his back leg, but it's in panoramic color. It's beautiful. And I'll see him leap, doing a leap or something of that nature. It's just radical. For a first timer, it's just unbelievable. The things that you were saying about, I got an audio experience one time just as I was about to doze off in bed. I got this real loud, stereophonic, as loud as can be. I thought somebody was standing over me. As I got up out of bed, I thought I was going to hit my forehead on the person's face. And I said, Sandy, did you hear that? And she says, no, no. And I said, you just didn't hear that statement before I leaped up and cut him off. So when you say, Vaughn, when you say, well, you can hear it internally, I thought it was in the room. I thought somebody had come into the house because it started as, I want to thank, and then I stood up. And to cut it short is I don't have a, there's not a lot of evil, or there's not a lot of, you know, of weight or gosh, you know, this person is really dragging us down. We'll feel energy kind of being sucked out of us, or sometimes I'll get negative and, you know, I'll say, it's time for you guys to go to the light, you know, the Lord's your savior, so forth and so on, you know, please boogie. This is our place now. We're the ones alive. You know, I don't want the group of guys with the video cameras and the microphones all dressed in dark and tattoos or whatever the case may be. How would you suggest, Vaughn, that I go about politely getting these people to move on? I know some are family members, and that's great. I don't run around, hey, Grandma, can you show me how to bake a pie? I don't do that. I look at my grandma's picture or my family member's picture who has passed, and I miss you, Grams, and I love you, and I leave that alone.
Great question, Mike. And if you want, with that, Vaughn, thanks for calling in, Mike. How do you convince friends and family that it's time to let go of here and move on as well, Vaughn? I mean, is there a simple, effective kind of comment you can make to them, or
Yeah.
Are there times you just don't have that ability?
About how they have a spirit community. It's really interesting. They seem very happy there, and they appear to him now and then. So they seem rather friendly, you know. You know, I mean, it would be a nice thing if Mike could get very very quiet, very still, and get the other people out of the room. You know, just him and the spirits, and get very still within himself and clear his mind. Tune out all external distractions, all internal distractions, into a deep, deep meditation, center focus, and begin to project this thought, this really loud, conscious thought to them, saying, listen, I hear you out there. You know, you seem like very wonderful spirits, but it's time for you to move on. You know, this place is for the living, and you are no longer alive. You are spirits that are trapped here, and you need to move on. And you can certainly try, and if that doesn't work, you can always speak to them audibly, out loud.
And just try to make it known that way. Okay. Yeah. Let's go to West of the Rockies. We'll try to get in a couple more calls. Joshua in Clovis, California. Welcome. What's your question for our guest, Von Brashler, this evening?
It's not really a question. It's just really an experience that I had.
Okay.
I went with my buddy one time, and we went to go get a foot massage, of all things. And funny thing is they start you off there, and they rub around your head, and they rub around your third eye would be, the pineal gland. Well, anyways, when that happened, I seen a velvet-colored rose just as clear as day in front of me blossom. And I had a weird feeling for like a day or two. Well, coming back to my apartment, I was sitting there one night, and I fell asleep on the couch, and I woke up to looking up at the ceiling, and it looked like a black ink, like a blob of it on the ceiling. And all of a sudden, it shot down, and there was like a black demon head with actual fire for eyes just right next to my head. And yeah. So I'm saying that, and then I woke up, and everything was gone. But ever since then, I've had like a funny feeling. You know, I just don't know what you would consider that, or
yeah. I think probably what happened was that you were kind of awakened psychically there by the rubbing of the third eye, and it really awakened you, and this new psychic energy alive in you, the Kundalini rising in you, if you will. You know, some spirits just glommed onto you. I mean, they love this. You know, they're going to feed off you. And when that happens, you just order them out. Say, I order you out of here. I order you out of here. Sometimes they'll go. You know, usually they'll go. Maybe they won't go. Then you just have to either live with it, learn to walk around it, or leave.
All right, let's go to the first-time caller line, Ned in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. I have a question. I live with my son. He bought his house about 7 years ago from a couple that had built it as a weekend home on a creek over here. And his wife, the man who built it, his wife painted a mural on one of the walls. She died shortly after they bought the place. And a few months after that, my son had discussed taking it down because it's rather ugly with his wife. And one night while they were asleep, his ex-wife woke up, and that lady was standing over my son with her hands in a choking position. And my daughter-in-law hollered out my son's name, and the lady disappeared. I moved into that room a couple of years ago, and shortly after I moved in, I asked my son about taking that mural down, and then he told me the story. He didn't want to bring it up because he might think he was crazy or something, but now, on occasion, there's a set of shells on the wall that will glow in the dark. And maybe every couple of months, right above my head, there'll be like a vertical line, a couple of feet long and an inch wide, just glowing bright white. And it's like just to remind me that she's there.
Yeah.
How do we get rid of her?
Yeah. It sounds like that's what you need to do. Well, I think once again, you try to communicate with her, and then you tell her that she's dead. This is not a place for her. She's stuck here, and it's really quite easy to move on. And she just needs, encourage her to do that. I mean, a lot of times it's true. They really don't realize they're dead. They just feel very disoriented and confused, and they're trying to protect their turf, which obviously was the painting and the house. And I used to tell people that these spirits, they cannot harm you. They have no physical form. They can scare you. They can drive you crazy. They can emotionally mess you up, cause you to be a psychological wreck, but they cannot physically harm you. No longer believe that to be true, and I no longer tell that to anybody, because in some cases, it's just simply not the case. They can be harmful, you really need to deal with it or think about moving, because it might not move. It might not ever want to move, but I'd certainly try to confront it and get it to move.
Von, can we tell them sometimes, I love you, thank you for being here, or, we appreciate you letting us know that you're still around, but,
yes.
Now it's time to say goodbye to all our company and just part ways and do it that way.
Sure, Dave. I have some very lovely ghosts that live in a house that I own in St. Paul. It's interesting because the British band Queen for 5 or 6 months lived there when member was convalescing in the 70s. And I don't know that it's the band Queen. I think they're older people that had lived there earlier. I mean, this house is over 100 years old. It's haunted by some spirits, and they're older people, a couple of older people. And they're very, very sweet, and they just don't want to leave. And we coexist with them.
Yeah, just got to learn to be a part of it. Let's try to squeeze in a real quick call from Wildcard Line 1, Wendy in St. Louis, Missouri. Got about a minute, Wendy. Do you have a quick question for Von?
Well, I got an experience and a quick question. 2 days before my birthday, I've only got one phone in the house, and on the caller ID, it comes up with my name, with my maiden name, and the phone number for which is the only line we have. And then I know how to get rid of a ghost. If you got a ghost that wants to move everything, just tell them, say, hey, I'll pay you if you keep my house clean, you'll get rid of them.
Yeah. The funny thing about phones, Wendy, is a lot of times spirits love to play with gadgets, and you can catch them, you can record them. Yeah, you could record them. You could get phone calls from them. I've had other calls from dead people, and they'll suddenly appear. I used to do typesetting at the newspaper, and I'd sit down at the compositor, and sometimes I get messages out of it that.
And they're telling, there's more and more of those stories coming up, texts, computer messages, IMs. It's amazing. The ghosts are able to touch us through communications and technology. Special thanks to Von Brasher, our guest this evening. Confessions of a Reluctant Ghost Hunter, a cautionary tale of encounters with malevolent entities and other disembodied spirits. The book is out. We're opening up phone lines. It's open lines now on the best in overnight talk radio. This is Coast to Coast AM.